everyone. Welcome back. Another edition of the post-game overreaction show, the POS, presented by UGASports.com. I'm your host, Paul Meharry, joined alongside Dane Young. Hopefully, you'll join us as well. The link is in the description. You can join into a virtual waiting room behind the scenes, and we'll get you onto the screen with us. Dane, it was a pretty fun game to watch. I didn't think we'd see Carson Beck in there as long as we did. A lot to touch on. Before we do that, though, if you're watching, go ahead and put it into the comment section where you're watching from. We'd love to know where you're watching from. Put it up onto the screen. And if you have any questions, let us know that as well. We're always willing to answer those, and it helps the show move by when it's not just Dane and I trying to dribble thoughts out of our thick skulls. So, Dane, overall, it was actually a fun game to watch. It was probably the most fun G-Day I've had watching in quite some time.
I think the ending really helped that, because for a while I was texting some people and saying, man, I know there are families that drove 3 or 4 hours to Athens for this, just because why not? It's a beautiful day. Go to Athens, enjoy Sanford Stadium. First part of that game was fine. That whole middle section of it really felt like there wasn't much going on to me.
There's a lot of punting, a lot of back and forth punting. I can tell you with certainty that Anthony Evans is going to be the punt returner. It seemed like he got 12 or 13. Well, I can tell you how many he had. It was quite a lot.
But the end of the game was exciting, and you know, the Dominic Lovett catch and destroying the fence between the now regrowing baby hedges. I mean, that's an iconic spring game moment, if there is one.
Yeah. Joshua Hammond says, how in the hell do you not win your own spring game? Hashtag fire Bobo. Probably the dog vent within the next 10 minutes. Yeah. It was interesting, right? Because right there at the end, it seemed like Kirby, you know, for whatever reason, wanted to keep it going, right? He wanted to see his quarterbacks get those 2-minute drills and continue to kind of press forward. And that's a good thing to see. A lot of guys caught passes in this game.
I did wonder for a moment, though, Paul, would they do an overtime period or two just to get the practice of that? I thought for a second that would be something Kirby
Smart. I don't know the regulations on that. Are you allowed to have overtime, or is the NCAA going to kind of get on to you? What's the thoughts on that? Yeah,
that's what I'm asking. Do you think NCAA has policy on that?
I don't know. Maybe you can't have overtime in that situation. Maybe this guy here, the professor, can answer this for us. What's up, Doc?
I haven't heard that in a long time, actually. Little Looney Tunes reference.
It was.
Nothing much, really. That was, I guess, exciting.
It was.
The end?
Could they have had overtime if they wanted to? That's where we're at in the discussion.
Yeah, could they have? Or the NCAA is like, nah, you don't get that.
I mean, it's a practice, right? Is there a limit on practice time?
They can do what they want to. Yeah.
I don't know.
I would think you could do – I mean, Lane Kiffin's having the hot dog eating contest, right? Or something like that. Or, you know, so you could do whatever you want.
I guess, right? I thought for a second when Kirby was motioning, I didn't know he was pointing to go to the locker room. I thought he was, like, motioning the offense to come down to, like, the 20-yard line right there at the end and see what could happen. He did say, though, that because, you know, they have the – I think they have steak and lobster for the winner and then beans and hot dogs for the loser. He did say everybody gets the reward this year since they tied. So I think maybe they got a good deal on steaks is why they decided, you know, to not have this thing in a non-tie, because they would have had leftover steak.
Well, it's also, and you know, you think about it from the coach's perspective, they're also inherently risk averse in certain things, especially when it comes to practice. And if you put it in a situation right there where you go for two, like everybody on the field is frothing at the mouth and going full go. And that's like, okay, I don't want to get someone hurt on the last play of the scrimmage.
Right.
Let's just end it right here. But no, good stuff. Good stuff.
I think it was a fun game. Let's bring in, we've got Eddie from Ackworth. Eddie's in his backyard, brick columns, beautiful house.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I would invite y'all to swim, but the pool's 60 degrees, a little chilly. So
you don't have the heated elements in there?
The heater's broken, Paul. So,
Dang. It's much like our YouTube comments right now feels broken. We've only gotten one. You guys need to step it up and talk to us in the YouTube comments. Eddie, from a fan's perspective, do you enjoy the game?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Dane said at the start, this is one of the most entertaining G-Day games I've ever watched, usually by the middle of the third quarter, Paul said it. I apologize. Sorry, host. You know,
yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, by the third quarter, you're like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And you're able to look down. And it, that was, there was none of that. Kirby kept the main guys out there for the entire game and let them compete. And this is the overreaction show, so I'll start with this. I love you, Lawson Lucky. That little slant he caught in the first half was beautiful. But if that's 19, he houses that. We missed Brock Bowers already. So,
okay.
There's not a Brock Bowers in this.
No, I know. I know. I'm just pointing that out. You know,
I may or may not have texted Dane that Jurassic is going to get a lot of time. I think, at least from a when they're in like defined passing situations, like when they go two receivers on each side and one of those players is a tight end, I can see that being Jurassic a lot.
Yeah, but the two things, Paul, that we talked about last week that I wanted to see was Dom be dominant. We absolutely saw that. That guy is a stud. And the second was, I want to see Colby Young. And you said that as well. I want to see how he steps up. He looks the part to me, man. I keep saying it. I think it's the next Marcus Rosemy, Jack Saint is right there. That's Colby Young.
Evan Grimes says he called that Sakovi touchdown on the pregame show, which he did. I think Jed May also did. Didn't he, Dane? I feel like he did.
Sure. We'll go with that.
I think he did. Kevin Boyd says CJ Allen is him. He is. Man, that – Brent, I've got a question for you here.
Okay.
You seem to have, 4-5 inside backers. How do you keep them all happy?
Rotate them. I think that's
not a position that Kirby has really rotated in years past. He's found his two guys, and those guys.
Well, but it's usually three. Usually three, and you see one that's more sort of run down dominant, one's more throw, you know, defined passing down player. But I think it's you got Raylan Wilson, CJ Allen, Munden, and then the young guys. And I think you're going to rotate them. You're going to see, and Williams looks the part physically, physically stands out. Look, and really all those guys that were the highest rated recruits that were defensive players, five-star guys that they actually pointed out on the broadcast, all of them physically looked the part.
Now, I mean, one of the first plays of the game was a Troy Bowles would have been sack in regular football.
Like now it's just about mentally. Who stands out mentally? Because that's what, especially at that position. At that position group, it's all – and that's why CJ Allen played a lot last year. That's why Nakobe played early is here when the physical part is already there. So it's who stands out mentally.
Aaron Murray made a comment on the broadcast. Mikel Williams looks like Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
Is he there yet?
I don't know that he said that he looked like Jadeveon Clowney, and I'm not here like standing up for Aaron Murray because he said some weird things on here that like he said Rod Robinson was the fastest running back on the team, and that's just not true.
Yeah, it's tough. It's spring game. Spring game from everybody.
Garrett Wilson might be the best center ever.
Yeah, but he said he looks like.
I think what he meant because it was the play where Mikel threw Rod Rob kind of down after the play
or a first down.
I think what he meant was Jadeveon Clowney did that to me.
Yeah. Okay.
He also called Colby Young a home run, and Kirby quickly corrected him. Kirby, says, slow down there, young man.
Yeah. Let's see. Evan Grimes says, wish I could have bet that. Yeah, didn't we say that would be like the most degenerate thing in the world you could do, Evan? I guess you would have won some money. Joshua Hammond says, I'm only here to see Dane, quote, stand on business. Hasn't done that since the Orange Bowl POS. Hey, we're still in rare form in the springtime here.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. What does that mean?
Stand on business. You remember? You don't remember the? We'll have to go back and watch it. It was pretty funny. Anything to be concerned? I've got Jason, Butt, and Andy waiting here in the background, so I'll kind of try to rotate you guys in. Anything to be concerned about, Brent? Watching this game.
I don't know that concern is the right word for anything. I do think QB2 is still he is QB2 in Gunnar Stockton, but I think what you see with him, and it's just you have one offense for Beck, and then you have a lot of variations of that offense if Gunnar has to play any significant amount. You're gonna have to bring the QB run game in. You're gonna have to bring more play action, get the QB moving type things in. He's just it was kind of meh for me there.
Okay. Any concerns there, EFA?
Yeah, I'm with Brent. I don't really see any concerns. I'll just give you well, I don't know. I guess you could flip this around to be a concern on the offense, but I love the tip balls, you know, the defensive line got today. That is the worst play when you're on offense to watch your team throw and tip ball and the play's over. That just drives everybody crazy. And they did it a bunch of times. Now, credit the defense for that, but on the other side of the ball, that ain't good for Carson Beck and the offensive line, right? That they gotta cut down on those. But one more thing,
the paradox of spring game assessment.
Yeah,
study.
Yeah.
It's like, you're right. Okay, if you say one thing's good, that means that whatever
bad on the other side,
not as good.
Right. But they don't really showcase the running game much in G-Day game. But what little I saw today, I'm really excited about this run game. I think it can be really, really good. And we're not even discussing what Branson Robinson could or could not be in the fall. So I loved what I saw out of the backs today.
Well, I love what I see in your backyard, Eddie. And I wish I could have you on longer. Maybe come back a little bit later once once everybody clears out. So good to see you
guys. Get who was the one guy for you, Paul? Who was the one player that you're like, okay?
Man, probably Michael. Like, it was a different – he looked different today. And Kirby mentioned it. He didn't have spring last year, you know. And I don't know. I text Eddie and Andy. I said, I think he's a 10-sack guy this year. Like, I really do. I think that he has that in him. The one concern for me, though, and I also texted Eddie and Andy this, are the corners championship caliber right now. And that's probably the scarier thing for me. I don't know if Everett and Humphrey are there yet. Now, if your defensive line can step up, right, and it doesn't put as much pressure on them, and we're seeing it right now where there's really no defensive line pressure getting to the quarterback. I mean, yeah, they could go touch him or whatever, but there's not. It's not the same as a real game. That's my only concern on this whole entire team is corners.
And because of the dynamic last year, you had a dominant secondary.
Right.
Thus, what pass rush kind of limitations that you had or that you didn't get were covered up by a great secondary play. Those work hand in hand. And if I think the talent is there to have a great pass rush.
I think it's very young.
But it's also very young. And it's also, is it going to play on early downs? Like, are you going to see Damon Wilson and Michael on the field on early downs, Jalen Walker on early downs, or versus – just those guys, you've seen those guys on third downs like you saw for the most part last year. If you don't get that pressure, then it amplifies what you're talking about from a secondary standpoint. But you've got start – like, it's not a talent issue. It's a experience. You see the KJ playing, hype. Like, sure. He's different. Like,
yeah.
I was – my one guy just – and because it speaks to what you're talking about with the pass rush, the one guy for me – was a kid who won't be 18 until November. And that's JJA, Joseph, however you say his last name.
JJA.
Ajane.
Yeah, I think JJA is going to be the name there.
But just watching him move on the interior as a pass rusher, that's a position of great need where, hey, can I play this guy on early downs and get some level of pass rush on play action type plays? And given the fact that the kid, you know, he's going to, I think, exponentially be better physically just with each passing month because of the age factor, he's one to me that stood out physically combined with all the factors, the youth part.
Love to see it. And Brent Rollins and Dane will be doing a special show tomorrow night after our show. Hopefully, I'm just asking you now, you guys can come into our show a little early, and we'll bleed over and, we talk draft too, you know, we do that as well.
Yes.
Nowhere near as talented, but we try. So we have both.
I disagree. Well, I don't see much difference.
I mean, we're going to have some JJ McCarthy takes. That's what's going to happen.
We're not going to.
Well, I think this week is we might do some FDL on the spring game.
Nice. I like it. That's what I was asking Dane earlier. I want to see.
I wasn't sure because I never like there's not schemes to show off here. So this
it's going to be player. It's got to be player driven.
I'll tell you. So I would love to see KJ Bolden broke down a little bit because he had a couple plays, the first couple where he got beat and then he made his way back. So I'd like just, you know, you guys do you. I'm not the guy here to tell you what to do, but I would like to see KJ Bolden. I think other people would too. So yeah. Maybe we see him.
There's a lot of stuff you can do with quarterbacks. I mean, Carson Beck had some phenomenal throws. He also had
we see quarterbacks all the time. I want to see that young, that five star kid from Buford. I want to see what the doc says and what he sees with his eyes. I want to see that.
I do have one question for you, Paul.
Yeah.
Do you think Carson Beck still looks uncomfortable throwing outside of the pocket?
Ooh, he looked a little uncomfortable today. Yeah. But at the same time, he made some incredible throws. Like that throw on the last drive.
Down the side, left side.
Was it to Ra-Ra?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was NFL level throw right there.
Consistently from the pocket. He's the best instructor pocket passer and maybe also, in college football that we've seen in a while.
This is the first game that he had. Well, like the first true game that we've seen with Jerry Wilson. So him and Jerry Wilson still trying to get on the same page. I think he's fine, man. I think he's gonna be.
Oh, there's nothing to look. This is a spring game. Like, if anything,
well, I text
Carson Beck be super invested in this?
Well, I text a buddy of mine. I was like, QB controversy? ? Laugh out loud. Like, you know, I know, right? But it was just, it's funny because I'm sure somebody on Dogman after he threw the first pick was like, man, I don't know, you know, and that
gap is large. Yeah.
But I also think, Brent, I also think if Gunner had to step up, I think he could lead this offense, though.
Yeah, it'd have to look different. It'd have to be bring elements, the stronger parts of his game, you'd have to bring more so to your offense.
Right.
And that's him running, and because that's the strength of his game.
Well, the strength of our game here is to get on Jason Butt here and Andy Stowe. So, Doc, we appreciate it. KJ Bold, remember, film don't lie. I'd like to see it.
We'll see it. We'll hit it up. We'll hit it up. All right.
See ya. Before we get them real quick, Uncle Lou's in the building. What's up? He says, hey, we better hope Ellis Robinson can play because our two starting corners are massive drop-offs from what we've had. And putting hope in this D-line seems like wishful thinking too. So Uncle Lou is in rare overreaction form. We'd love to see it. I was there with him, though. I said the two corners, so, you know. Rob Phillips over on Facebook. Rob's a great profile picture, my friend. Hope you're doing well. Says, Michael was impressive. Love seeing the O-line play. Well, in run game, Dom and Ra-Ra looking good, and I'm okay with the QB run game coming in with Gunner if needed. Oh, look who it is. Miss Mary's here. She's back. Howdy, Miss Mary. Good to see you. Good to see you. And then we've got James Caraway doing his thing out there. Lord have mercy. God bless him. Jason Butt, Andy Stowe, bring them both in at the same time. What's up, guys?
How's it going? How are
you doing? You guys got two different versions of the Braves hat on. Let's just flip it up and let's just make it three.
There you go.
Come on now.
Come on, Dane. You got to get in on this.
Yeah. Where is it, Dane?
I don't know if I have any Braves gear within sight.
Right. Wow.
Oh, man. That's not good.
Let's let Andy go first. He's got a hot Taco Mac.
Yeah, I do. It's a guy. It's with my friend. But, yeah, he's a gator. Yeah. We just broke the internet. No. I wanted to talk to Brent Rollins about that because he was talking about the defensive line. I wanted to see what his take was on the offensive line, the first offensive line unit, because the defensive line, they got after him a little bit today. Like, you saw Tate Ratledge, he got beat a couple of times. So I was curious what he thought about, and it, Warren Brinson got him. So I was curious as to what he thought about that. So maybe
we can talk to him tomorrow night. They'll bleed over into our show. Make sure you ask him then.
But yeah, I thought the D-line looked good.
I thought it was fun to watch, though.
Yeah, it was real fun to watch. I mean, it was, you know, the middle of the game was a little boring, but I don't know. I thought the first and the beginning and the end was good. So I enjoyed it. I would have liked to have been there. So.
Cool. Here's a good one, Jason. Before we get your thoughts, Waiting Room Mag over on the X Machine says Beck's performance in one word. That's tough. Putting you on the spot here.
Clutch.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Okay, it was. Yeah. Before we get your first thoughts, Jason, one word, Andy or Dane? I don't have one, so my brain.
Interesting.
Okay. Clutch, interesting.
I don't know if you can do this in one word. I mean,
because they both just did. Jason had a great one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go competitive.
That's okay.
To me, it was just obvious that, like, when he was invested, he was fantastic, and he did some things that
so fantastic.
But there's
fantastic.
But there's no reason to be like alarmed by it because he's a great player and he can make all the throws. So.
So you thought he just wasn't invested in parts of the game? You thought it was just kind of like, okay, it is what it is.
Somebody on the dog vent said he looks like he was hungover from the night before. And I'm like, maybe.
Hey, you never. Awesome. Athens is undefeated, brother.
Right. Athens is undefeated. That's totally possible in this scenario. And who would blame him?
Eddie says his one word is mature. So I like that. Ooh, Joshua Hammond says, nails. Okay. So like tough as nails. But that's three words, Joshua. Anyways, Jason, you've got many more words than one. What did you see?
Yeah. Well, specifically with Carson Beck, I think it's, the fact that there was that pressure to get something going. He obviously didn't have, the kind of performance maybe we would have expected, just because, you know, ever since Kirby got here, G-Day has been a offensive, or he's tried to let it be for the fans, where points and yards are put up on the stat sheet, and the defense said, not today. I thought, really more than anything, I thought the defense was very inspired. So if you were to flip it around with one word for the defensive performance, inspired. And they, I mean, y'all have already talked about Michael Williams and C.J. Allen. I thought the C.J. Allen interception, if he adds that kind of level of coverage to his game, then this Georgia defense in the middle is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot that, you're going vanilla on vanilla, and the Georgia defense, just the athleticism in the front seven, really made it difficult for Carson Beck. So for him to then deliver that throw to Ra-Ra Thomas and then to deliver the throw to Dom Lovett there, at the end, I thought was spectacular, and that's why I ultimately decided on Clutch to go with, you know, his performance for the day. But really, the game to me was more about the defense, really both sides of the ball. I thought the first and second team were lights out.
How about Pope? Pope looked great today. Like, he was making plays.
Two chances to get an interception. He had his hand in a ball. I think he definitely would have got that interception in the end zone.
Yeah, I think so.
Instead of them kicking that field goal, he tried, and it was no fault of his own. But he was, you know, going to catch with both hands, and he had kind of forgotten that he had a club on. So it hit off the club instead. But I think he would have caught that. Beyond
Creative, he looked pretty athletic. I thought he looked good. Like, I was impressed with him.
Yeah. Beyond Creative, what's up, man? He says, go Dogs. Thank God no injuries. That was one of the big things Kirby said. Now, I'm curious. Christian Miller came out. Did he come back in? Did you guys see him come back in? I don't think I did, but
I didn't see him come back in.
Kirby said no injuries, so I'm going to trust that means it was, you know, minor. Yeah. This hurts in the moment, but it's done.
Yeah, because it did look kind of rough when he was down on the field, but he went over, jogged to the sidelines. Now we're getting a lot of these.
We're just going to go with everybody now.
Yeah. DS says Trevor Etienne in one word. Twitchy. There was a couple plays. So he had four rushes, 24 yards. That long of 18 was like, oh man, that's the Etienne that I'm looking forward to watching. That was a nice run.
Cook-esque.
Cook-esque? Ooh.
What about Swift-esque?
Okay.
He reminds me more of DeAndre Swift.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, Dane?
I'm just going to go committee. I think it's going to be more of a running back by committee than we initially thought.
Yeah, because first running back in was Rob, right? We didn't see Etienne for, I don't know, five or six plays. Now, I don't know if that was, you know, from his debacle over the offseason or not, but we'll see.
I assume. I mean, there's two dudes on the way that could contribute at running back as well. There's just a wealth of talent there.
Yeah. Kevin Boyd, he's always got our back. He said Christian Miller did go back in. We appreciate that. So what is this? What is this? James Caraway says Colby Young in four words now.
Huge get in portal right there. Four words.
On the spot.
That's not right bad.
And with that, I got to go because I'm going to eat. So, guys, this is great. Y'all have fun.
We'll see you tomorrow night, man.
Take care. It looks nice.
Yeah. Pure red zone threat.
Okay. This is tough. Four words. I think Andy hit it on the head, and then you came in right after.
That dude is tall.
Back shoulder catching machine.
I like this one from Evan Ryan. Looks like AJ Green. He does, dude. He definitely does. I like that one. I'll go with that one. Looks like AJ Green.
Does he? Because I don't think so.
He's got the same number, right? He looks. They look very similar. Like on he's the
tall.
Field.
So when people have the same number, they look the same.
Well, no, he's tall.
When they're tall, but the same number. Kind of, yeah.
They're not sure. They're not jacked. They're kind of slender. I said to a buddy of mine, I said, this is what J.J. Holloman, I think, would have been had he was if he was able to stay at Georgia. I think he would have been like that target.
But see, Kobe I don't think J.J. Holloman looks like A.J. Green either. So, like, we're not connecting here. This is me.
Yeah, Evan Grimes, Dan, go take a lap. Yeah, I agree. He looks like A.J. Green. Quadwo says forwards check down every time. I don't know. Timothy says, looks like Julio Jones. Whoa. Okay. Look, I like these. I like these. And then look at Kevin. He says, I look good too. No, he's talking about Andrew Paul. Andrew Paul did. He had the 25-yard run. He only had two attempts, though, for the red team. Then he had two attempts for the black team, which he also had a 16-yard run for the black team too. I think, like you said, Dane, this could very much be a committee at running back, more so than what we thought kind of coming into this, where it's going to be ETNs and then the rest.
Well, and we're going to learn how this rotation works too. Dale McGee tended to kind of stick with, well, I guess he had a rotation at sometimes, and you would wonder why wouldn't he stick with the hot hand? How will this change? Who makes, I guess ultimately that decision goes through Kirby, but he tends to give his position coaches some leeway on how to handle those substitutions. So with this being the first time in the Kirby Smart era that Dale McGee's not the running backs coach, we may see a different flow of how these running backs get in the game.
Yeah
that's Crawford's, a great point.
That's a great now point, Jason.
Yeah, and I'll be interested because, you know, they've been able to make that committee approach where it's, you know, two plays in, one play out, or you know, then they come out. And this kind of really just fast movement where not a back or a back was not able to really get into momentum. And as everybody knows, a lot of successful running backs, they need to have a series or two series in a row to really get going. However, when you're Georgia and you have, you know, 8,000 running backs on your roster all at one time, you know, you want to get those guys carries so they stick around a little longer and save the wear and tear so they have professional futures here. That is great. That's a great point. It will be interesting. You know, does it change? Does the philosophy move, or do they keep the same approach, you know, given that, you know, Kirby's ultimately kind of going top down, hey, this is what I want, make it work. And so I'll be interested to see if that approach, you know, shifts or if it doesn't.
Oh, I like Rob Phillips. He said, I've got four words after watching today, three of 4 years. Mm. I like that. It looks like, you know, I didn't watch anybody else's spring game yet, but it looks like this team might be able to. Evan Grimes with the $20 dono. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Evan. He says, you think Ellis takes a starting spot by Clemson? No, but I think he's probably one of the best two corners you have on the team.
I don't know that starter matters as much because I can see them rotating one of those spots, maybe even multiple. They like one lockdown corner and then maybe rotate that second spot.
Yeah, Paul, if you think he's one of the two best going in and this coaching staff thinks he's one of the two best going in, he's going to start. It's as simple as that. They haven't done anything in the past to suggest that they want a guy to get some time to get acclimated before this coaching staff, at least, to get acclimated to things. Like, if they think he's one of the two best, he's starting.
So then why wasn't he on the starting defense?
Well, he's probably not one of the two best at this time.
Mm.
There's also a chance.
But it could be by Clemson. That's all.
That decision could take care of itself. And like we haven't discussed the biggest thing that's happening now, which is this portal is about to reopen for another cycle. And Georgia will lose some players in this.
And it could very well be Dane, some politicking right there to try to keep those guys around. Yeah, you see Ellis, he's on the second team right now. You guys are my starters. You get through that portal and you're like, I need the depth, right? Because if Ellis doesn't work out, you know, I need the depth. I'd be curious, Evan, that's a good question. I don't think so, but I believe that he should, if that makes sense. I don't think he does though. Let's bring Eddie back in real quick. There he is. Eddie.
Jason, Ellis, start, buddy. Good to see you.
Yeah, man. Good to see you too. Doing all right. Yourself?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Sorry.
Good.
Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, so Evan gave us some money here, so we have to answer his question. Well, we answer his questions even if he doesn't give money, but he gave money this time, so we have to. Ella's taking a starting spot by Clemson?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so, 100%. I think it's unquestioned. Hey, I do want to point out one of my favorite plays of the game y'all hadn't even talked about. It was that flat play where they hit Sakovi White in the flat, and he takes it down. And I had to rewatch it because I wasn't sure, but another kid laid out a humongous block. You know who it
Nitro
was?
Nitro Tuggle.
Nitro Tuggle. Two what? Kids that should be in high school right now making huge plays on that play. I love that.
So you watched it twice. Was it not a block in the back?
No, it was not a block in the back.
Okay. Look, they didn't call it. I'm just asking. Just playing a little devil's advocate there.
No, don't be ridiculous.
Okay. I'm asking. Fred F. says, Eddie from the A. Yeah, we ain't talking Atlanta. We're talking Ackworth, baby. DS says, really would have liked to see Puglisi today. Yeah?
Yeah.
But you got to see a whole hell of a lot of Gunnar Stockton and Carson Beck. Sure, I would have loved to have seen them too. I'm just surprised, guys, that – let's see. We got a total of 4 attempts from Colin Drake and Sam Bush combined. 4. That's it. The rest of them were from Stockton and Carson Beck. I thought for sure when I opened up the pregame show, I was like, the one thing I need to get across to the fan is I need to tell them who Colin Drake and Sam Bush are, because they're going to see a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see them at all. You saw Stockton and Beck out there. What was the reasoning behind that, guys?
I think it's Kirby trying to keep everything exciting. That's really it. Nobody was getting hurt either. There was no reason to take guys out. It's a close game. Why do that? You know, gotta get Gunner the reps too.
By the end, I think it's what you said earlier, Jason. It's that Beck was in a situation where he had to lead his team back in that. And
that's
so,
it. Yeah.
That can be hard to simulate in practice, and especially in the stadium. And so when you have that there, that is going to be something that Carson Beck's more invested in that moment, because you just feel the adrenaline and the energy. And you saw his best throws of the day happen on that drive.
Well, Kirby thrives on putting his players in these competitive situations too.
Yeah, that's why the last 3 minutes of the game took 30 minutes, because he was like, yeah, we're not leaving, boys. Yeah, we're giving the ball back to Gunner to let him try to do something with it. Oh,
that's why I thought there might be an overtime.
Yeah, yeah, give it to Carson. Give it to Carson.
I think it comes down to reps too. Kirby's like, what are these other two guys that are never going to see the field? What do we need reps on? Puglisi would have gotten those reps if he wasn't hurt, and he's going to get a fourth quarterback probably next week. He may have seen some reps if he was on the team, right? But Gunner and Carson need all the reps they can get, and they got them, and I loved it.
It's an odd situation if they pull a quarterback from the portal, because you're pulling one to say you're going to be a depth piece here. So just come be part of Georgia and be a practice squad person.
But he said he's going to do it, Dane, right?
Oh, no, I agree. I just – it's a hard pitch to make when Juju Lewis is the target that they're hoping to get in for the next class. And then, frankly, I think they're probably going for another portal quarterback, potentially a starter for next season after.
Well, I asked Paul this on Sunday. I'll ask you and Dane, Jason. Is Kirby going after a quarterback to back up Carson, or is he going for a quarterback to back up Gunner in the portal?
Carson.
Yeah.
And to just be a death piece. No, you don't bring in a guy and say, by the way, you're going to back up Gunner next year too.
I'm not going to say that, Jason, but I mean in his mind, because I'm saying –
No. In his mind, he's going – it's all on the table. I think when it comes to next year's quarterback competition, it's wide open. He's not thinking, okay, I've got Gunner the year after. It's I've got Carson right now, and then we'll see what happens with what we have going into 2020.
But I don't think that's just unique to Georgia, though. I think that's every major program across college football.
It is right now because of the portal.
Is going to be two different players. One, I don't think there's going to be a quarterback the caliber of starting at Georgia that Kirby's going to want in this upcoming portal cycle.
No.
So I think they're going to bring in a person that's an emergency quarterback, likely behind Gunner, because they're not going to know Georgia's system. They're going to have, 4 months here before that happens. And then you probably, after next season, get into a situation, after the upcoming season, where you can have a better pick of the litter in that first portal cycle.
But that's, again, that's also, like I said, it's not unique to Georgia. I think that's every year. You saw Ohio State. They said, screw it. They kicked their starting quarterback off the team and went and got another one to try to win now. You know, so I think you're going to see that every year. And nothing is handed down anymore in college football. There's no waiting around and being Joe Cox. You know, there's none of that. There's no seniority. And it's unfortunate because – it also means like there's no loyalty, but there's also no loyalty to the coaches to keep their jobs. So they have to keep their jobs. You know, it's a little different now with the way things are. So that's what we see.
Was the kickoff something new? I don't recall them doing on G-Day games. Actually, I mean, they didn't really hit full speed, but they came out and ran from the end zone out. Whereas I think in times past, haven't they done a fair catch or not even allowed?
I think they did last year. They did last year.
They've done it before where they've done this thing where they don't actually catch the ball, but they have the ball ready and they kick it. And then when the ball clears, they run. Mm-hmm. They just get tagged. They've done that before. I can't recall last year if they didn't do that, though.
I think they like practicing the kickoff portion. I mean, one, just for lining people up. But then two, you just don't get a ton of kickoffs in the stadium. And you want multiple people to have experience in that.
James makes a good point. He says, think it was Kirby wanting to see what type of QB he may need in the portal, number three or someone to compete for number two. So maybe that's what he was looking for. Be curious to see. I mean, yes, you're Georgia, right? But, you know, to come in and say, hey, you're battling for two, you might be third, that's a tough sell when you could probably go start, you know, at a smaller school with that. Let's see here.
All those decisions just have ramifications, though. So if you brought in someone and they took some of Gunner's reps, you may be telling Gunner, get in the portal in the next go around. Yep. And then you're having to backfill that spot.
There was one guy that we kept seeing for that black team that I kept having to look up his number. And I even said it before the show as a guy to look at. Michael Jackson, five catches, 42 yards. Looked really good. He had the one on the sideline there. I think it said it went for 27 yards. Looked good to me. Jalen Reddell, I mentioned him prior to the show. Five catches, 23 yards for the black team. Anthony Evans, he's good. I think Arian Smith needs to watch out because they pretty much do the same thing. They do.
What do you mean watch out?
He's coming. Anthony Evans is
coming. He's already here.
He's what I'm saying. He's going to – I get that.
I know what you mean, Paul. I'm saying that Anthony Evans is he's got that spot. That's not Arian Smith.
Is this a science riddle from the SAT? Yeah.
No. No. Everybody's hyping up Arian Smith this year.
No, I mean, look, God bless Arian Smith. But, I mean, Anthony Evans is that guy. As you said with – what's his name? As you said with that Kentucky quarterback who's flaming out with the Titans. Will Levis. Anthony Evans is that guy.
Jason, that was the most like Southern bless your heart style dig.
Yes, Yes, it was. Well done.
I like him. I think he's a good player. But Anthony Evans does that role. He's going to do that role so much better.
Yeah.
I think he Anthony Evans has the chance to be one of college football's in the next 2 years, one of college football's premier elite receivers.
Wow.
That's what I was trying to say without being kind of blunt about it. But I appreciate you being blunt about it.
I mean, come on, like, don't beat around the bush with it. I mean, let's call it what it is, you know?
Yeah, he's going to be that guy. He's really good.
And you know who you haven't even mentioned who was heavy in the first quarter and had a touchdown, if that's reviewed, Dylan Bell. I mean, he just looks like an animal out there. He's so good. I think his toe was in. I think on Saturday that's reviews and that's a touchdown. He's great.
He's target number one to me. I mean, him and Lovett working off of each other. But
they made it. Aaron Murray made a great point about like how do you replace the type of plays that Brock Bauer did, the jet sweeps, the screens and the stuff like that. You can do that with Dylan Bell. Mm-hmm. Like that's who you can replace those type of plays with is Dylan Bell. He's just if there was another guy that was literally cloned from Deebo Samuel in college, it's Dylan Bell. They both do the same exact thing.
Because there's a chance he's Georgia's best running back too. He just plays receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dylan Bell is a workhorse, Evan says. James, Dylan Bell is a designated circus catch guy. Yeah, we didn't see a ton of him. You're right, Eddie. We saw two catches for 22 yards. After the first quarter, we didn't see a ton.
Right.
But, yeah, I think you're right. That's a touchdown on Saturdays in the fall. So it's Rob's putting his first transfer prediction out there. He says, prediction, Arian in the portal to Tuscaloosa.
Ugh, please don't.
That would – That would hurt because Kalen DeBoer could probably use him in that weird offense that he runs and get him some nice yards.
Well, he had another drop today. That's kind of been his nemesis, right?
I mean, you say that, Paul, but gosh, he hasn't gotten it going here.
No,
he hasn't. And this offense has been, I mean, look at the catch he had in the Peach Bowl 2 years ago. There should have been a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. And it just hasn't happened. It'd be great if he sticks around Georgia just for the depth purposes, but if he does transfer, I don't know what his options will be in terms of it. I'd be shocked if Alabama were to take him and could put him to use like that, like you said, but hey, anything's possible, I guess.
Timothy Rumley's saying Ant-Man 2.0.
Timmy, man, that's my dude, man. Me and him went to high school together. What's up, Timmy? Yeah, man. Hey, Timmy's a good dude.
Look, I love it. I love it. Tell Timmy to slow down a little bit, though. Ant-Man 2.0 for Anthony.
Hey, he's allowed to have his opinion. He can do what he wants.
Let him, right. Let him slow down a little bit.
Slow down, Paul.
I like it.
Are we thinking that Anthony Edwards is the first man to ever be named Ant-Man?
No, but like I'm saying, like, is he on Anthony Edwards' level yet? He might be.
He could be.
College version is about the same. Honestly.
I mean,
Timmy could be right by the end of the year. That could be a bold take. We might look back on it and be like, damn, that was smart.
No, Timmy knows his stuff. He played receiver at my high school. He's good.
Yeah. Goat Dog says, dang, I'm late. You're never late, Goat Dog. You're here, brother. You're here.
I mean, overall, I do think we need to just acknowledge, like, Georgia passes the eye test and everything. And
this
playoff era, Georgia's going to be a playoff team. It needs some injury luck to make it an easier path once we get there. But it's going to be a really fun season for Georgia. That roster is freaking loaded.
Yeah. Yeah, like the overall, right, you kind of look at it from a 300 feet view, if you will. This team is really, really good.
And how many players did we not see today that are going to be here in the fall? I mean, incoming front. Now, not that they're all going to be impactful, but there's a lot of talent coming in the fall, right? I mean, you mentioned one, Dane, Nate Frazier. Let's not just discount him, right? He's supposed to be this all-world running back, but there's other guys, right, that are coming in.
I mean, Urosik's coming in the summer as a transfer tight end.
Is that how you say the last name? Urosik?
Ben Urosik.
Okay, yeah. I've been saying Urosik, and I'm glad you.
I think that's the Arkansas athletic director. Close to it.
Aren't they the same? Aren't they spelled the same way?
I don't know.
So what is it again? So
I'll ask John Calipari, and I'll let you know.
Urosik?
Ben Urosik.
Urosik.
Okay. All right. There you go.
But the biggest story, which of these guys that played in G-Day aren't going to be on this team in two weeks? That's the biggest storyline.
When's the portal open back up on the Monday, right? 15th?
Tuesday, right?
Tuesday? Yeah. Tuesday. Sketch? No?
So the 15th money folks are Monday. Doing their thing right now.
Nobody's with the sketch reference?
Nope.
Thank you, brother. All right. Bunch of olds here with me tonight, folks. 20-20 score was today. Good thing it wasn't the year 2020. We had fans in the stadium for this one. There he is. What's up, brother? Bowens, 5 carries, 22 yards. Didn't see it. Like, nothing stood out for me with him, but he's a big guy. He's a big running back. Again, another guy that should be in his senior year of high school out there showing off. Anybody besides anybody that we've mentioned so far stood out to you guys?
I'll just mention when they put up Roderick Robinson at 6 foot, 240, and that if you do the BMI or think in your head, he's a fat ass. I bet there's 2% body fat on that guy. That's 240 pounds of muscle. He's like a fire hydrant. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Do you know the BMI calculator like in your head like that?
Not in my head, but if you think about a 6 foot guy that weighs 240 pounds, you think fat ass. That's a short, fat guy.
Is that wrong, man? The BMI is outdated. We could go on and on about
it. It is. We're not going to go down that road. But the point is, Paul, he's short and stacked with muscle, unlike you.
I'll give you two names, Paul. Jalen Walker, I think we haven't mentioned him, and I think he's going to have a fantastic season.
Yeah.
The other, and I don't know that he's going to play a lot, but he was just everywhere at G-Day. I thought Dan Jackson looked pretty good.
Yeah, he was everywhere. You're right.
Every time he was out there, he was around the ball. Had the most tackle. Well, Raylan Wilson had 8 tackles, 4 solo. Dan Jackson had 7 tackles, 7 solos. So he had the most solo tackles of anybody in the game.
I can just see it being helpful to a KJ Bolden that Dan Jackson, who's been here for multiple presidencies, it seems like, that he's out there just to kind of guide this and help.
He actually might KJ's have been.
More talented. There's no doubt with that.
Actually,
there are some packages there on the field at the same time.
Yeah, I think Dane, I think you made a joke, but I think he might be entering.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he has been here for the last 2 presidencies.
Yeah. Yeah.
19 was Jackson's first season, right?
Then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he'll get to experience another election. Not to take this political, but yeah, he'll have 3, 45, 46, and potentially 47 if it changes for Dan Jackson. So congrats to him, man.
I guess it depends how long the playoff lasts if it goes to the inauguration, right?
Right. Yeah. He might get to see. Yeah. That's that's saying something that you've been around a while. If you're able to do that. One guy that hasn't been around a while, which we talked about, CJ Allen.
Yeah.
Different. Dude's different. They're like, when they let JDJ walk, I was a little like, man, I don't know. I like his production on the field. There's no comparison between him and CJ Allen. There's none.
This is not a hot take, but here's just a prediction. Glenn Schumann's not with Georgia next season.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This inside linebacker crew is going to play so well, and he's recruited so well. He's got to be next up
he's smart though. He's waiting for, like Dan did. He's waiting for a big prime time. What is it? It's Power 4 now, not Power 5. Waiting for a big Power 4 school to open up next year. He's going to be the hot name.
Which explains why you have they've had a co-defensive coordinator for all this time.
Yeah.
You know, T. Rob steps in as the guy. But yeah, I agree with you, Dan.
Yeah, one other thing that impressed me, guys, is the open field tackling on a G-Day game. You know, they just look sharp tackling in the open field. I was really impressed with that.
Howard Eubanks says Dan Jackson will make a tremendous defensive backs coach. Yeah, he will. We might be hearing a Dan Jackson taking over for Georgia in about 20 years as the head coach. He's got that mentality. Aguero looked good, had 4 tackles, 2 pass breakups for Aguero, which he's going to be starting in that secondary.
Star.
I love this comment here from Missy on Facebook that Dumas Johnson knew he was going to be second string on this group. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. He knew. Mm-hmm. After he got hurt, I mean, it was obvious.
It was Allen was doing last year.
What
was it? Who did Tom Brady take over for? Doug Flutie?
Drew Bledsoe.
Same difference. Tomato, tomato. Yeah, it was Drew Bledsoe.
Let me ask you all a
question. I'm blanking on the name. Who is it? Is it Lou Gehrig took over for? I'm blanking. It's like the old example of whoever it was.
I always think of Kurt
Eddie, help us out.
Taking over for Trent Green.
Yeah, because I was, 10 at the time, right, Paul? Jesus. Hey, I do want to ask you all in that vein, if JDJ
Wally Pipp. Yes, there it is.
Wally Pipp, there it is.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. If JDJ does not get hurt, does he keep his starting position all year?
Man, probably. Because CJ just doesn't get the reps, right?
Yeah.
But then it
last
changes.
Last year, but not into this year.
Correct. I think it changes this offseason.
This year, yeah.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you risk, like, CJ going in the portal, and that's just a bad program. Right.
But you're also, you get those bowl practices, you open things up a little bit, and you're just like, wait a minute. We got something here.
Yeah, you let CJ into the portal or you let JDJ into the portal. They made the right choice there. Yeah. Scott's watching from – anybody want to take a guess at that city's name?
It's made up, Paul. Come on. You know it's made up.
That is definitely made up.
Skaneedles? Skaneedles?
Skaneedles.
Skaneedles.
Jason's a Yankee on here. He should know how to say that. Come on, bud.
Half a Yankee, I think.
Wow. Yeah. Skaneedles, New York, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, guys, we've been going 48 minutes. We'll do 10 more minutes. We'll get out of here. Where's the starting secondary? Who are the 5 starting in the secondary?
Starks.
Wow. Okay, Starks. That's the easiest one. Congrats, Dane. You got that
Aguero.
One. Okay, we've got 2.
Ellis Robinson.
Y'all doing Ellis? Yeah, Ellis Robinson.
Well, I'm going Ellis.
Okay. Yeah. It's got to be Everett then.
Daylon Everett.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's probably Dan Jackson initially, but KJ Bolden's coming.
So the reason for that activity, we've got two true freshmen that we think starting by the middle of the season.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
KJ, maybe not even maybe the first quarter. Yeah. First quarter of the season.
But I think Dane's right. Does it really matter? He rotates so many people in and out. So,
yeah.
You know, Ellis Robinson may not start the game, but he's in on the third play, right? Something like that. I'm just throwing it out there.
At Star, and especially if they want to, they'll rotate those guys. But if Dan Jackson is going to provide value, he loves Dan Jackson. So he'll get some playing time.
So
with Bolden there.
Your boy Timmy might be onto something. I think this is who we see actually against Clemson. Like a realistic Humphrey, Starks, Everett, Jackson, and Aguero is probably who we realistically see go out there. Now that is going to be who goes out there game one. That will not be who goes out there the final game of the season.
I don't think.
I mean, who's the last corner that's had the hype that Ellis has had? I know Keely Ringo had some hype.
Keely did. Had a lot of hype when he came in,
but he got injured, right? And so
Tyson Campbell had a good bit of hype following him from American Heritage.
Did you say hype or height?
Hype.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Keely and Tyson probably would be the two that really stand out in my head as being those guys. Yeah. Evan Graham says Tyson. It's probably those two. And then Ellis. I don't know if either
Dan Jackson really is the link between eras, because he's the one that, as Keely takes the pick six back for a national championship, gets de-cleated at the 2 yard line.
Yeah, dude. You turn on the 1980 championship game, and he's out there as well. You know, it's just he's everywhere.
He was leaping up on the sideline when Herschel's out there playing hurt.
Right. James Kerwis says a new Go Dogs tweet Kirby just dropped. Who did Georgia get? They got a kid from New Jersey, and his name's Tough. His last name is Tough. It's Darren Ikenabog. I did not get that right. That's my
fault. Which is not a city in New York, we think.
Yeah.
Three-star edge. Darren I. Let's just do that. Darren I.
Yeah, Darren I. Three-star edge kid from Hillside, New Jersey, 6'5", 240. Other sites have him rated a lot higher than Rivals does. I'm sure that Rivals will probably push him up as well. So
now it says 1 4-star. One says 4, one says 3. So whatever.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. He's one of those kids, I think, that got discovered late. And so the recruiting services are ticking him up. I think he's all the way as high as 60 on one of them, and then all the way as low as a 3-star on Rivals. So
6'6", 250. He chose us over Ohio State and Notre Dame. Was he at the game? Does anybody know?
I think he was. I could be mistaken though. I think he was. But that's
I'll put our YouTube channel as well, because we have videos from Sanford Stadium. Michael Williams, Ernest Green, Carson Beck, they're all up there. Kirby's post game will be up there as well. So Jed May, Anthony Davis. Sorry, that comment stopped me in my tracks.
Yeah, that's funny.
Dan Jackson was there with Tarkenton as well.
Guys, now I want to go put Dan Jackson on one of the photos when they're playing on Hurdy Field back in the late 1800s.
Or you should, yeah.
You should do that and then put him on the boat with George Washington right behind him as well, so we can just see how far back we can push him.
Do I have to put Stetson out there too? Because he's the new Stetson, is what he is.
True, he is. He is. Before we go, DS has asked us twice, Masters final predictions. Scotty Scheffler, baby.
Scheffler, unless his wife has the baby. And, I just need Willie Z to get in that top 20. Let's go. He's going to make tomorrow sweaty for me.
You got anybody, Dane?
I'm going to go off the – well, I mean, he's making a run now. But Ludwig Hebert, next phenom of golf, and he's running good. With this.
Okay.
First major, but he played in the Ryder Cup last year. So – I mean, for me, Cam Young, I love him, but he's like doing the he'll birdie and then he'll bogey, and it just kind of evens out thing. Max Homa, I'd love it if he won too. But
yeah,
you got anybody Eddie? Off
here? Colin Morikawa, watch him. Ooh, he's on a little run today.
Morikawa, I love him.
He was really good.
Guys, we appreciate you so much for stopping by. Thank you for the $20, Evan. We appreciate that as well. We'll be back with a overreaction show 4 months from now. That'll be our first overreaction show. We've got plenty of entertainment for you here on the UGA Sports YouTube page. Tomorrow night, we've got the All Things Georgia call-in show with myself, Eddie from Ackworth, and Andy Stowe. Right after that, Dane and Brent will be taking over the channel doing a little bit of Film Don't Lie, right?
I don't know. It sounds up. I mean, Brent's, we weren't unified on what we're doing, but we're doing something.
And then if you haven't already, check out Jason's he did an article today, right?
Yeah, just three plays that other than Dom Lovett's touchdown. I had to add that at the headline at the end because that was easily the best play of the game.
Yeah.
But, just three plays that stood out. And I wanted to pick ones that really weren't ones that top of mind, too, so that outside of Allen's interception. But, go check it out, UGASports.com.
UJSports.com, and we'll see you tomorrow night for some more live content. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. You guys are the best part of the show. Dane Young, Jason Butt, Eddie from Ackworth. We'll talk to you soon. I'm Paul Meharry.